Listeners,
hello and welcome to the Sexy Night Podcast,
the Late Night Podcast. If you couldn't tell, we're recording this late at night.
We're traditionally almost exclusively a morning podcast.
Yeah, up to this point, every podcast, I don't know why you wouldn't be able to tell, but has been recorded in the morning time.
So honestly, tell us if there's a vibe shift with this one.
I was thinking like, oh, maybe we'll have more energy, but honestly I feel more tired now than at 7 o'clock in the morning when I usually get up.
Yeah, but I feel more jazzy would be the word, I suppose.
Okay, get ready for some jazz, listeners.
Yeah, I feel like just kind of loud
quick improv. Ba-da-ba-ba, da-ba, bow.
Skibbity-ba.
We're giving it to them. You're welcome. That was free.
I bet the listener is so chill.
They gotta be.
Don't be too chill, because if you're listening to this in the morning or driving to work, we don't want you.
Oh, yeah.
Wake up!
We want to be responsible. Yeah!
Boo!
Eyes on the road. Okay. Yeah, late night podcast. We're trying something different. Just our schedules worked out for this. And we're back for another episode. But before we get into anything, I want to remind you and myself and the listeners that we're doing a giveaway in one, two, three, four more episodes. So after this one, three episodes, when we talk about Pokemon Red and Blue, we are offering a giveaway to anyone who wants to listen to the episode. You have a chance to win an original Game Boy that has been upgraded with a fancy new screen, and it will also come with a copy of Pokemon Red. And this is to make up for the fact that we hate the game Pokemon, but we love you as listeners and gamers.
I went and looked at this mod online that you've done. It's incredible looking. The screen looks so good.
The screen mod? Yeah.
Yeah.
Very clear, crystal clear. Firing it up. Even when I fired up Pokemon to make sure the game worked, I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. Like, I don't enjoy the game Pokemon. I'm going to say that in every sentence, how much I dislike the game Pokemon. But firing that up and just holding the game and the screen's right there and the little chiptunes are blasting out of this tiny little speaker, it's a blast. And we're doing it because we like you and we appreciate you.
To Pokemon.
Yeah, gotta get them all. And we're sorry about not liking Pokemon.
We're sorry.
So sorry. So yeah, giveaway. And I'll explain a little more. What we'll do in the episode is offer a secret phrase, right? This is a thing people do still.
Yeah.
It makes me think of the Christmas story.
It's a thing we do because we're doing it.
We're about to, yeah. So we're going to offer a secret phrase somewhere in the duration of the podcast. You'll need to listen to the episode. And then send us, I think we're going to do via email, email us the secret phrase, and then that will count you entered in the raffle. Don't worry. We're not going to spam you with emails about our podcast because we're honestly too lazy to generate any kind of like promotional material.
Yeah. We promise we won't.
Yeah. We're not going to add you to any list, but that's the only way I can think of where you can communicate that to us. Unless you go on our Instagram. Or maybe TikTok, send us the secret phrase and that'll count you as entered. And then we'll figure out how to give it away and ship it out and everything. We are going to have to limit it to US. I just can't pay the shipping costs and do the customs forms. But, you know, anybody in the US that wants to listen and enter, feel free. Tell your friends, tell your family, or don't, so you have better odds to win it. It's up to you.
Yeah, you definitely wouldn't want to tell. Don't tell anyone.
Maybe just tell them to listen to that one episode. And they'll be really confused when we whisper a password in the middle of the episode. And they won't know what to do with it. But at least they'll be listening.
I like this idea. This can't go wrong.
I like that also you're not clear on the details. And I'm just kind of making them up right now.
Yeah, I'm having fun with it because I'm just like, I can't wait to see what disaster. 100 games and a funeral taken to court.
Yikes, sued over petty giveaway. Should be a lot of fun. The Game Boy is going to be really cool. I like it. I'm impressed by it. And thanks for listening.
Sweet.
On with the show.
Here we go. That's this week's game.
That's a Mario. What's up with your week?
Well, I'll save it for later, but I played this week's game.
Okay.
A fair amount.
Major game talk. Okay. Yeah,
I put it in. So we're definitely going to have some time on that. Man, oh man.
Sounds like a fun week.
Yeah. Pretty killer week, actually.
Crushed it.
Not my, you ever heard a man so on top of the world? So dominating this game of life.
Yeah. I guess I can't really brag about my week either. I can't remember anything that I did. Sorry. I just worked a lot. My job has really picked up in the amount of work I'm having to do, which I dislike greatly.
That does suck.
Yeah, I didn't get hired where I work to work.
My week was pretty easy.
Yeah. I've been having to do a lot of work. But I did play our game this week. And I played some other stuff, yeah. No, I've actually been trying to get back into figuring out how to make my own game. But, you know, it's been pretty fruitless so far.
I think you're just beginning to fruit. You're just planting the seeds. You're just fertilizing the soil.
I guess you're right. In the grand metaphor of fruit existing, I'm at the very beginning steps.
I really want to see, speaking of doing things,
mm-hmm.
I really want to see Late Night with the Devil. Have you seen the trailer to this?
Late Night with the Devil? I have not.
It's kind of hearkening to 70s horror, even in the way it's shot.
Ooh.
Yeah, it looks awesome. It looks really, really cool. So I'm excited.
I'm not a huge horror guy. Are you into horror?
You know me. My horror choices are Hereditary.
Oh, yeah. You watch like the psychologically scary one.
Yeah, that, like Fresh, Midsommar, Summer, whatever. That kind of thing.
Yeah, they leave some real mental scars.
Yeah, I like to go to bed and be like, but not like, oh, there's a monster in my room, but like,
yeah,
what evil lurks in the heart of men?
Sure, whatever.
Only the shadow knows. That's a very old reference.
Is it Edgar Allan Poe?
It's a radio show from the 40s. Okay. Yeah,
The Shadow.
The Shadow.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it was. It got remade and stuff as time went on, but initially.
Brent? Can you straighten us out here, Brent?
Can you please help us with your old time radio knowledge? I might have Brent beat an old time radio knowledge. Steve.
Are you still there?
Yeah, we didn't lose anything. We are still here.
So you talked to Brent.
Yeah.
And is he okay with his likeness being used on the podcast?
Yeah, he's okay with us mentioning him. I consider him a third chair.
Sure. He's here in spirit.
Yeah. And then sometimes in hate.
I mean, listen, he's like one of three people that talk to us about our podcast. So we appreciate it.
But yes, The Shadow, an Orson Welles joint.
Mm.
That's all I really got.
Okay. Yeah, I watch Midsommar, but I don't really hang out in the horror hallways of film. It makes me feel icky.
That seems like a good predilection, honestly.
Yeah.
You should watch things that raise your vibes.
That's what I'm trying to do. That's all. I didn't even try to watch a movie from this week's game year. I skipped that.
I didn't really think about watching a movie from this year, but I... When did I watch... This game released in 2007, right?
Mm-hmm. It's part of my fun facts. I'll cross that one off.
I'm sorry.
That was my funnest fact.
Oh, never mind. I was going to say I watched Pineapple Express kind of recently, but I think that was 08.
Could be.
Superbad was 07.
That is true. And yeah. I've seen that. I'll count that.
We watched
that this week. Yeah, I didn't watch it. We've been wrapping up Game of Thrones, our rewatch. We're about done with the whole show. And boy, does it really speed up at the end.
I mean, it speeds up towards the ground.
Like a rocket straight into the freaking dirt.
Like, it's the king in a wheelchair. And actually, she sucks now. Kill her. And
yeah, it's wild.
It's really bad.
I'm the three-eyed raven now. You don't know me anymore. That's my brand.
It's me, the raven.
I could see everything all at once, everything.
Ugh.
Anyway,
my favorite bit. George R. R. Martin refuses to finish that series now because of the backlash. He was like, oh, snap, that was my idea.
It could go bad. I better not.
I mean, Game of Thrones is just, what if everything bad happened all the time to one group of people constantly?
That is the experiment, the grand experiment of Game of Thrones. It's been enjoyable, but we all know that it ended strangely. And that's about all I did this week.
Huh. Well, we talked about keeping our vibes up, and let me tell you, we did something this weekend that actually did raise my vibes.
Did we?
Stratospherically so.
That's good. I can't wait to hear what it is.
Well, I think you might know. Because
something we did in the weekend?
Something I did this week. It would have to do with this week's game.
I heard this weekend and I was like,
I may have said this.
Played in Shrouded, but
oh yeah, we did. We finished Grounded and we played in Shrouded.
Oh yeah. We can touch on that briefly.
Yeah, roll it back.
When I deleted Grounded from my hard drive, it was like the end of Lord of the Rings. I was just crying and staring at the blank screen. So glad to be done with that game.
You said Frodo, come back.
Yeah. And Enshrouded kicked off pretty good. It's been fun so far.
I can't wait to see your city.
I feel that I've overtalked it, but when I get to building in those games, I don't really have an idea what I'm doing. I just start building stuff.
I mean, there's a lot of customizable things going on, so.
Yeah, I haven't gone crazy yet. There's some solid, base piece structures. It's great visuals for a podcast.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Coming to you live from Steve's Enshrouded server.
Yes, that'd be cool.
Well, anyway, back to the good vibes.
You could segue it.
I can't say. What was this week's game, Steve?
Let's talk about the game. We'll jump on to this week's game. We played Portal 1. So Portal 1, we already played Portal 2. That was lower on the list. So right off the bat, would you say Portal 1 is the better game?
No.
Would you have Portal 2 above Portal 1?
I would probably place Portal 2 above Portal 1, but I can hear the argument for Portal 1 in its importance.
You would listen to it, yeah.
Yeah, I would hear it. I would listen.
Yeah. I didn't mean to kick off so strongly with game talk, but let me hit some 2007 facts. This is my new favorite thing, even though it's got to annoy other people. I'm going to keep it shorter this week. So when I was researching 2007, it was full of Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian. We were just in a weird place, just constantly wanting to know what these women are doing with their lives. But there were some cool things that happened. That is the year where Charlie Bit My Finger debuted on YouTube. Charlie Bit My Finger.
Ouch, Charlie.
Ouch, Charlie. Yeah, the first iPhone released. The iPhone. That's all they called it. The
iPhone.
Yeah. The final book of Harry Potter was released. The Deathly Hallows, I think it's the last one.
Gandalf dies.
Gandalf dies at the end of Harry Potter.
Yes.
Yes, the box office was filled with third movie in a trilogy. Can you believe that?
I can.
I was stunned to go through the list. Spider-Man 3, Shrek the 3rd, Pirates at World's End, which is the third one. The Bourne Ultimatum, which is the third one. The movie 300 has the number 3 in it.
Hmm?
Ocean's 13. That was all of them. Super bad.
Now, I don't know if you're doing this on purpose, but considering today's game and Valve's history of not understanding the number 3, this is a very interesting thing.
Well, that's interesting that that'll happen the same year. There is some kind of like cosmic something happening that they won't make a third anything.
Whoa.
Maybe all the movies stole all of the 3 karma for video games.
Huh? Oh.
It was just weird. I was just reading the list. I'm like, the third, that's the third movie. That's the third movie. So strange. We couldn't think of anything new in the year 2007. Make another sequel. Do you know who won this? I'll hit you with NFL trivia. The Super Bowl champion of 2007.
So, So 2000, was it the Giants? Or was that 2008 that they...
I would have been more excited already if it were the Giants.
Okay, so I'm thinking of 2007. Was that Colts?
Yeah, you got okay, it.
The Colts. That's it. Yeah, they beat the Bears.
I'll take your word for it. I didn't write that part down.
Uh-oh. Well, hopefully that's the truth.
Undefeated NFL trivia champ.
When I think of 2007, I think of the Patriots' perfect season in 2007, but that would have been the 2008 Super Bowl that they lost to the Giants. Mm. Fans, so, sorry. 2007,
2008. Yeah. Mm. We have music like Irreplaceable by Beyonce, Umbrella by Rihanna, and the song that you could never get away from, Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees.
Tough year for music.
Yeah. Do you know that song, Hey There Delilah?
Can't. Never heard it.
Geez, they wouldn't stop playing it on the radio. The average home price in 2007 was $248,000, which it said like that was the highest it hit, and it stayed up there for a long time. And I think it's gone up now, but it did stay up for a long time.
Yeah, we were headed for a nice little party with the home prices.
Yeah, the average gallon of gas was $3.38. Feels like we're still there.
Yeah.
This is 17 years later. What happened with gas?
Gas is wild.
Why are we paying so much for gas? Okay, that's all of 2007 I had. But just to get you in the frame of mind, things weren't great. But then, you know, we were given what some would consider to be a masterpiece of a game. This 2007 puzzle platform developed by Valve.
Heck yeah.
Portal. You're familiar with Valve.
They have probably the second most time for me playing games. So yeah.
Oh really? Across all their games?
Yeah.
Because of what games?
Counter-Strike and Team Fortress 2 and
That's the majority of your playtime.
That's right really, there. Yeah, it's the majority.
Left 4 Dead's on there?
Oh yeah, Left 4 Dead.
Half-Life. So they've made a lot of PC games. I was not a PC gamer, so I missed all of these actually. Until much later. Portal began with a 2005 freeware game called Narbacular Drop. Does that sound familiar?
Narbacular Drop.
I may be pronouncing it wrong. Narbacular Drop. What a word.
Put it in the chat.
Narbacular. I mean, it looks like what it sounds like. I just don't know where the emphasis would be. Narbacular. Narbacular.
I trust you. I trust you entirely.
Okay. So the students of the DigiPen Institute of Technology created Narbacular Drop. And it was like a 2D thing with Portal technology. Totally different game, like rescuing a princess kind of thing. But Valve developers saw this and were so impressed, they brought them to Valve to show it off. And they were given jobs. And they're like, okay, turn this into a game and use our stuff.
That's very cool.
Very cool. I wish that would happen to me. I would have to do the whole like developing a game part first, but
little proof whatever. Of concept.
Yeah. Portal took approximately 2 years and 4 months to complete after the team was brought into Valve. And no more than 10 people were involved with its development.
I noticed that at the end this time, I was just looking at the credits, and it's a really short credit list compared to a lot of games.
Yeah, super short. And the song at the end is long, so they just roll the same 10 people over and over. I didn't notice.
I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of people to
shout out and thank, and I'm sure more than 10 people worked on it, but wait, I mean, it said no more than 10 people were involved with this development. Maybe post-development people worked on it? Who did the research for this? The decision was made to have the story for Portal be tied to Half-Life Universe. And they decided that in part due to the fact that they had limited art resources and they had to reuse assets from Half-Life 2. I cannot say that I've played Half-Life 2. I might have. Did you recognize things? Is it clear to you, like, oh yeah, this is stuff from Half-Life?
Yeah, like the desks and stuff. There are certain things you can tell are definitely from Half-Life.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. The guy who actually wrote the story for Half-Life was sad that they were making it be tied to Portal. He wanted it to just be like its standalone universe. Very protective of his story.
Yeah.
It was first released on the Orange Box on Windows and Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. And the Windows version was playable on Steam for PC users.
Yeah.
Did you get the Orange Box? Is that where you played it?
Yeah. When you say go, I will get very into the Orange Box. But yeah, that was...
That's all my notes on Orange Box, if you have more to add.
I have it downstairs in the basement. I found it recently.
You have the box of Orange Box.
The Orange Box, yes. The Orange Box.
The Orange Box for the Xbox.
I don't think... ever in the history of gaming, probably never again, will there be a release that has so much value and quality and like enjoyment in it, for me at least.
Yeah. It's, what other games were in there?
You got Half-Life 2, Episode 2.
Okay. Well, one DLC day, action.
One day we'll get Episode 3. Just kidding. That's never going to happen. Okay. Everyone knows. I said Episode 2. It was
Half-Life 1 Episode 2?
No, it was Episode 2. It was Half-Life 2 Episode 2.
Okay.
It had all the Half-Life, like Half-Life 2 Episode 1 and 2. It had Portal. Mm-hmm. It had Team Fortress 2.
Mm.
And yeah, that alone is...
Yeah. And it was like $30 or something.
Something like that, yeah.
And granted, all these games are more like, they're more like proof of concept games. They're not like fully fleshed out 60-hour story games.
I mean, Team Fortress 2 is like a fully realized multiplayer game.
Right. And that's just on the merit of its multiplayer ability. You can play as much as you want.
Yeah.
But the other ones, like Portal and the Half-Life stuff, you play the story, but the value there, for sure.
Yeah.
They won't ever do that. They will make sure to piece those into separate games and make you pay for all of them in the future.
Yeah.
And that's what they do now.
Unfortunately.
Would you like to guess the Metacritic score out of 100?
96.
Ooh, 90.
Boo!
90. Yeah, I thought it would have been higher.
Boo!
I got a good review, bad review. Good review from PC Gamer UK. This game feels like a very UK vibe game. They say Portal is a magnificent puzzle game. The titillating wrongness of every solution and the wonky thinking required to get there make you feel like a space-folding genius, and yet you'll almost never get stuck.
Yeah.
Agree? Disagree?
I agree.
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely times where you're like, you feel very cool when you figured it out. Like, whoa, that is so cool. Bad review from Muzz on Metacritic. I could be one of the few people who don't know how in the world this game is supposed to be fun. It's definitely not for me. Portal is nothing but ... portals and solving puzzles with it. So yeah. Muzz, you really hit the nail on the head there.
It's a puzzle game.
It's literally a platform puzzle game.
Oh my
involving God. Portal. There's no freaking cars in this whole West game. Once again, the bad reviews have crushed it. And that's about all I got. I couldn't get the sales numbers. They weren't there and I didn't dig deep enough. But, you know, it's bundled with Orange Box, so it's hard to say like what Portal sold specifically.
Yeah.
But 90 out of 100, come on. This is selling pretty good. And then they just released it recently with the old extra polish on it, the RTX.
Yeah.
On off. I didn't download that one because it was like 27 gigs and the original was like 7 gigs or something.
I also don't have an NVIDIA card, so I can't really utilize the RTX. Mm.
Get on the NVIDIA train. Choo-choo to RTX town. This podcast is sponsored by NVIDIA.
Please, NVIDIA, please give us stock options.
Please, anyone. Those are all my fun facts. If you want to get into the meat and potatoes and maybe asparagus, or if you have some kind of vegetable of the game.
Well, I guess I can teleport us back to 2007 and explain the orange box and portal and what it means to me, if that is interesting to you.
Yeah, hit a blue portal next to you on the wall and hit the orange portal in 2007 and just walk right through.
So I really like Half-Life 2.
That's not what we played. We played Portal.
But I really like that game.
You just start talking about a completely different game.
I really like Half-Life 2.
And so I Gordon really Freeman, like, right?
He likes portals. And I really like Half-Life 2 Episode 1. And I really like Half-Life 2 Episode 2. And when the orange box came out, I said to myself, oh, there's a lot of games in here, but I don't really care about those. I want to play Half-Life. So I got
That's what you got it for.
Yeah, and I played Half-Life, and it's awesome. And I had a lot of fun with it. And then my friend hits me up on Steam and was like, dude, you have to try Team Fortress 2, which little did I know would become one of my all-time favorites, and I'd put thousands of hours into it. But I tried that out, and I was having fun with that. And then I remember I got off TF2 one night, and I was like, that game's awesome. And Half-Life was awesome. And I was like, what's this Portal game? People were like, yeah, it's great. You should try it.
Hey, wait, are all these games awesome?
Like, wait a second. There's no way that for like $40 or whatever, they package three amazing games in one box for me. And I turned on Portal, and it was later at night. And sat there, and I beat it. I beat it in one sitting.
Oh, just top to bottom.
I mean, it's not a long game. It's very
no.
It just isn't.
You can get through in 3 or 4 hours for your first time, even.
And then I was like, "What was that? That was freaking perfect." And I literally beat it again multiple times over the course of the next couple months. Probably like 5-6 times. I just loved everything about it. It was it's so fun. It's so tight. And that kind of became my obsession with the orange box for a while, and I became a very, you know, evangelical Portalite. I was like, everyone has to play Portal. It's the coolest game.
Yeah.
It just hit all of the right notes for me. It's funny, but it's not over the top with its humor. It just kind of gently gives it to you. And the puzzles are fun, but they're not too difficult. There are some advanced puzzles you can do later. But, you know, they're just kind of, you bust through them, they're enjoyable, and it feels great. It's a Source Engine game, so the movement feels awesome. I'm just so used to it, how it works. And the idea of the portals, which I, as I learned today, came from a different game altogether, but the idea of the portals is so, it's just a mind bender, you know?
Yeah.
And for me, Portal is one of my all-time favorite games, just like Portal 2, which I raved about, which Portal 2 is a more complete version. There's a lot more going on. Mm-hmm. The story is more realized, but there's something about Portal as a game and that like almost discovery that I had in playing it for the first time late at night and finishing it, where it'll always be this perfect example of what gaming can be. You know, what it should be more often, which is trying new things, experimenting with new things, not being afraid to put them out there, but also understanding that they don't have to be 50 hours long with a million side quests and all this nonsense going on the map.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait 20 years to put out a game. And as I went back through Portal this week and I went through it and beat it, and then I went through all the advanced maps and beat all those.
Oh, wow.
And I went, and honestly, at this point, I just know how they work. So it's not, I'm never like, what am I supposed to do? I'm just zooming. But it's just as fun now. Having played many other games with much better graphics, it's just as fun now as it was in 2007. And I never get that, oh, it actually looks worse than I thought it would, or it's cornier than I thought, or the gameplay is aged poorly, but it hasn't. It's still a good game. And I think I've talked about this before with like Naughty Dog, for example. I've said, I wish Naughty Dog would just make 5-6 hour kind of story games where they would provide a new character and just show us something new and interesting. But instead, the kind of suits and money hungry freaks in power, they don't understand what gaming can be and what it should be. And Portal to me is a perfect example of just a creative, enjoyable, kind of, I hesitate to call games entirely art, but this almost artistic expression of just a puzzle game and how much fun and joy it can bring to people. Sorry, rant over, but
no. Yeah, some games do that. They reach into that artistic part of things. And clearly just a love letter from Thad for Portal. But that hits you perfectly, that you would start it late at night and it's a game that you could sit and play all the way through in one night. Like, there's something about being able to have a solid session of gaming. And if you beat that start to finish, that complete experience would be amazing.
Yeah,
especially at night.
Sitting there in a dark computer room, but still alive, playing after you beat the game, and you're just listening to the lyrics because they're great too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, complete experience for you. That's amazing. I wish that were my experience. Mine was not not good, you know. It was a good experience, but I wish it was like a real marker in gaming history for me, but it wasn't. But I do remember I somehow got the game in a way that you're not supposed to, but I was playing it on like a little tiny netbook. Do you remember netbooks?
I do, yeah.
And I was just surprised that my netbook could run it. So I was like, cool, let me play. And I was honestly playing with like a trackpad with my finger and the buttons. And it was fun enough that I just wanted to keep doing that, even though that was very cumbersome.
That's crazy.
But yeah. The game, the fact that they've created a concept with these portals and they've given you like just tight little perfect puzzles to solve with it. And they're not convoluted. I read like at first they had more kind of objects filling the rooms to try and just make them look more lived in or operational. And they're like, you know what? Let's just get rid of all that stuff. Just have the walls and strip it down. And it's so tight that it's nearly perfect. And whatever the solution is, it's always kind of just beyond your grasp until you just run around some more and keep looking and keep looking. There's really only like one solution for every puzzle, but it's not obvious what you should do. So you got to just keep shooting portal here, see what that does. You know, you maybe missed a wall that you could have shot a portal on. You're right. It's perfect.
It's really good. It really is. It's very fun.
The fact that there's minimal music throughout the game, how do you feel about that?
I like it. I've always been a fan of things like No Country for Old Men, where you just let sometimes the set itself and what you're doing take the forefront, and you don't have to be blasted with music at all times.
Yeah. I think that may have been 2007.
Yeah.
Huh. Look at that. Yeah, I don't mind it. I thought it went well with the game because you're in like a testing facility and whatever music you hear is just like little Muzak over the radio, like elevator music. That's all you get.
There's like an elevator jazzified version of Still Alive playing.
Yeah. Or when it ramps up, then you get some music like the final fight in the end.
Yeah.
Do you remember, were there any puzzles as you're initially playing through that stumped you or you spent more time on?
There was one this time that took me a second and I remembered, oh, this takes me a second every time I've ever played this game. It's hard to explain it, but it involves like two walls that you're not able to shoot portals through, but you can walk through them and you have to figure out how to set it up so that the essentially it's like beam, it's like a ball of light that shoots out of the wall.
You have to get the balls of light into like this little socket that it powers up a thing.
And for some reason, my brain doesn't grasp it immediately every time. And then I go, oh my gosh, yeah. But that's a weak explanation once again. But yeah,
I get it. I think I even know the level you're thinking. There's like the force field walls. There's two of them side by side.
Yeah.
And you have to do something with portals to get into one of them and something else with portals to get into the other one.
Yep.
But once you pass through that force field wall, your portals reset. So it's not as easy as just shooting a portal into there. You have to be within the bounds of the force field.
Yeah.
So if you've never played this game, that made no sense. But that's the kind of thing that they've done. It's not just a room and a goal at the end and you shoot portals. Like, they keep introducing new things each time that all of a sudden your brain's like, wait a second, what do I do now? I remember my brain being very confused the first time I was playing it. Even at just the concept of shooting a portal, being able to walk through it sometimes and see yourself through the portal.
Yeah, that's a mind boggler.
Yeah, I would just stop and look and be like, wait, what's happening? But yeah, just proof of if your game is good and what you've made is fun and enjoyable, like, it doesn't need to be 50 hours of gameplay. People will want it, but, you know, if you give them 4 or 5, that's enough.
Just let us try things out more. Just give people money to do this kind of thing. Valve hasn't done it in a while, too. Valve is, you know, very slow, if barely releasing games nowadays. And I just wish, you have so much money, so many opportunities, just try things like this. Because
there's too much AAA development.
There's way too much. Sometimes just let a little crew of 10 guys, you know, or gals or whatever, go over to the side room and work on something like this and just see what comes out of it. Like, the worst thing that happens is you lose. There's no way this costs that much money, you know?
Yeah, I can't imagine this one did. There's not a lot to it, but, you know, what's there is just tight.
It's obscene to have to wait for so long for these AAA games and then half of them be disappointments.
Right. Or we just consume them in a week and we're done.
And there's so many smart and talented people making games right now, but they're making a lot of these kind of low budget indie games and they're good. But just imagine what they could do with more backing, with the backing of larger studios behind them on these smaller proof of concept almost games.
Yeah. Then they might turn into AAA games. Then we have the same problem.
It's going to happen, but then we just, you know, let's keep the ball rolling. What's new? Sure. What's the next guy come up with?
I'm with you. Do you enjoy the story of it?
Yeah, the story's fun. It kind of, as you go around the map, you see these signs of someone who was like trying to live. Hiding. Yeah,
someone's been in there before you.
From GLaDOS. I think, I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
I thought it was something like a rat.
Yeah.
A rat man or something.
Yeah, a rat man.
Theo Ratman.
there's like that little kind of side story going on the entire time, which is cool.
The main story for people who haven't played is that you're a test subject. You've woken up and you're being put through your paces, right?
Yeah, well, if we really want to spoil, you're the daughter of scientists I hope I'm not wrong on this, but you're the daughter of scientists that worked at Aperture Labs. And when GLaDOS flooded it with neurotoxic gas and
GLaDOS is an AI operator of the facility.
Yeah, based on Cave Johnson's assistant, I believe.
Okay. Is that a person from Half-Life?
Portal 2.
Oh, okay. They flesh out the story in Portal 2.
Yeah, there's some more fleshing, but yeah, there's a little story going on. It's fun. It's not like the main piece of the game, but I mean, I don't know if you remember the references that were utilized constantly, still to this day a little bit, but, you know, the cake is a lie.
Yeah, the writing on the wall, the cake is a lie.
Yeah.
The companion cube is very popular in art and stuffed animal style.
Yeah.
There's lots of stuff from it, right?
Tons.
Yeah. But the story for this one it does get a twist partway through, which is fun. Like, as much fun as, like, say, an Uncharted story is, you kind of know what the beats are and where it's headed. And this one, I don't think you could predict if you didn't know anything about it and you were playing it the first time.
You know, it's always interesting when we do a game like this, because when we do, like, a bad game, I feel like I pick it apart. Or let me phrase that, bad game, but a game that we don't love. I feel like I pick it apart and I point at parts of it that bothered me. But in something like this, I struggle because I'm just like, oh, it's amazing. I'm just gushing the entire time. So it's almost
are
like
there parts of this game that are bad to you?
Nah,
I'm trying to think.
The puzzles could be more complex, which is why Portal 2 is, for me, the better game.
The
puzzles could be more complex. They could flesh out the story a little bit, but once again, that's not really what it is. It's a short game that preludes Portal 2, which had all of this, the Aperture Science Labs fully realized, all this backstory realized, a lot more aspects to the gameplay, a co-op mode, all of these different things. This was just the prelude to it. So it's hard for me to say how dare they, because they would go on to develop all of that. This is just them showing what it could be.
Yeah, that's fair. They kind of, do you think they had Portal 2 in mind when they made this game? I think they just made this one and were like, oh, that was fun. Like, we twisted the story and you got to break out at the end. And
it doesn't feel like it, no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
The way that at the end of the game, when you're outside and then you are captured and brought back, though, it makes me think that they thought there was always potential for more.
Yeah, keep the story going. Yeah, I can't think of anything bad about it. I mean, it controls how it's supposed to. The game teaches you how to play it as you're playing it. There's not really any confusion outside of just figuring out the puzzles, which in a puzzle game, you would hope for some of that.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a good game.
It's a good
game.
A lot
better than Civilization 1. I don't care who doesn't agree with that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I don't think I yawned, not even once while playing or discussing this game.
Nope, I was always engaged. Well, we did the good game, and I'm hopeful, but we'll see. What's next week's game?
Next week's game is Mass Effect 2.
Oh, boy.
Man, we're just keeping good games back to back now.
There's no way I'm going to beat that one, but I now want to.
I mean, if you rush, that's probably what, like 20 hours if you rushed?
I think that out of any game series, Mass Effect is the one I've beaten the most.
Oh, really?
Like, I've played it quite a few times. I don't know an exact number, but quite a few times I've played through the entire campaign.
More than five times?
Close to five times.
Around five?
Yeah.
It's probably the game that I've started each one of the trilogy the most without finishing.
They're very fun.
I always am like, yeah, I should play it. And then 30 hours in, I'm like, I don't know if I can keep playing this.
They scratch a real like corny space opera.
Yeah, yeah.
Itch for me. So
for sure. We'll get into that more.
Perfect.
Yeah. So that'll be next week's. Thanks for listening. All about Portal. If you haven't played this game, I highly recommend it. Honestly, like my daughter saw me turn it on and play it. She's like, what's that? I want to play it. I was like, sure, go ahead. And things just were starting to instantly click. I think that's the beauty of it, is how simple the mechanics are. Like, I understand what I'm supposed to do. Now I just got to figure out the puzzle.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. So play it.
Well, that's it for us here at 100 Games and a Funeral, the funkiest, jazziest podcast this side of the Mississippi.
This side of the Mississippi.
That's the entire, we've covered the entire world now.
Equal sides of the Mississippi, the late night pod.
The world cannot escape the smooth, jazzy tones and the dulcet voices of 100 Games and a Funeral.
Thank you for listening, listener.